Since learning the truth about alcohol over 4 years ago, I've become pretty skeptical about anything that seems too good to be true. You know, like alcohol. If you're like me and you can spot a too good to be true health hack from a mile away, congrats, you're a skeptic too. Ritual knows that every good skeptic deserves a multivitamin that exceeds our standards. I take Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus every morning because it has high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It's gentle on an empty stomach and has a minty essence in every bottle that helps make taking my multis actually enjoyable. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/sobermom. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/sobermom for 25% off. Hi, welcome to the Sober Mom Life podcast. I'm your host, Suzanne, of My Kind of Sweet and the Sober Mom Life on Instagram. If you are a mama who has questioned your relationship with alcohol at times, if you're wondering if maybe it's making motherhood harder, this is for you. I will be having candid, honest, funny conversations with other moms who have also thought, maybe motherhood is better without alcohol. Is it possible? We'll chat and we'll talk about all things sobriety and how we've found freedom in sobriety. I don't consider myself an alcoholic. You don't have to either. And maybe life is brighter without alcohol. I hope you will join us on this journey, and I'm so excited to get started. Hello, welcome back. You came back. I'm so glad. Welcome to the Sober Mom Life podcast. Today is a big day, you guys, because Emily Lay is finally here. You have been asking for her. Anytime I ask you over on Instagram stories who you want to see in the podcast, she is at the top of the list. And I am just so honored that she chose here, right here, you guys, our little podcast right here. She chose to share her story for the first time about sobriety and where she is and what led her here. And her story is very relatable. And I think it's the most important kind to tell because I think most women fall in this in-between area. And when we, that inner knowing, right? You know the one we're talking about? Yeah, that one. We talk about that and how it can guide you. And you will love her. You will love this episode. And if you don't know Emily, which I don't believe you because I think all of you already do know Emily because you told me to have her on. Emily is the founder, CEO of Simplified, which is all of those gorgeous planners and calendars and everything that's going to get our life organized. And she helps me stay organized. She's also a writer of so many books, including Grace, Not Perfection, A Simplified Life, A Standard of Grace, When Less Becomes More, Growing Boldly. Oh man, you guys, there's so many. We're going to link all of her stuff in the show notes. Be sure to go follow her on Instagram. Get inspired. She is a breath of fresh air, and I am just so honored to have her on the podcast. Don't forget, if you love the podcast, rate and review it. Give it all of the stars. Share it with your friends. Spread the word. And if you need community and sobriety, or if you are sober curious and you want to be around women who are examining their relationships with alcohol, come and join us in the cafe. I will link that in the show notes. We do Zoom peer support meetings. We do book club. We have a feed and a chat where you get to connect with women all day long. So come and join us. And without further ado, enjoy Emily. Emily, welcome to the Sober Mom Life podcast.
Hi. Oh, thank you for having me. First of all, I love you and I love what you do. And I love the things that you're making available for women because they were so helpful to me.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, you know, I adore you. And not only to help keep me organized and to inspire me in that way, you're just, I've been wanting to have you on here for a long time. And we did have, like, we were like, okay, yes, let's get through this busy time.
Yeah.
And then let's do it. And then all of a sudden you were like, oh, wait, hold on. I have to come on. So I want to hear the big pivot, the change of being like, no, we need to talk about this sooner rather than later. What happened?
Well, you and I had connected and we talked like last year?
Yeah, it was last year. Yeah.
And we had talked about me coming on and I was like, I am like right at the forefront of this. I'm right at the beginning where things are like, oh no, is this for me? Is this not for me? Like, is this forever? Is it not forever? I feel like I need to get further in so that I know for sure some more things.
Which is also, P.S., it's so funny because I love to talk to people who are in it, yeah. Right? And like who don't quite have it figured out yet, but they're like just starting the exploration yeah. and starting to be like, oh, wait. But it's hard to get people to come on who yeah. are in it because they're like, no, I don't know what I'm talking about. And right. I'm always like, yes, that's great. Like, that's amazing.
Especially if yes. you're a perfectionist like me, like to speak on something, you want to think that you're kind of an expert at it, right?
Yeah.
And like, yeah. I am not an expert at anybody else's journey. I just know what it's been for me. And it's been a long time coming. And it took me two solid years to get to, hold on, let me look at my phone. It took me 2 solid years to get to 106 days.
106 days. Yeah. That's amazing.
I know. So,
oh my God.
All of that to say, I started talking more openly about sobriety and like how I kind of have come to today on Instagram and on my Substack and stuff. And the response was like, nuts. Like it blew me away. And most of it was not public facing. It was like DMs, emails, texts from friends. I'd see a friend out at a social event and they'd pull me aside and be like, I've been thinking about this and that kind of thing. And so the more I talked about it, and I, because I'm a verbal and a written processor, like the more sure I got about things. And then finally I said something on Instagram and I had like 12 people write me and be like, you got to go on this podcast. And I was like, I know, we've been talking about it. So anyway, that's why I reached out and was like, okay, we just got to go ahead and do it.
Oh my God. That makes me so, it's like our two worlds colliding, which we were working on in the background. Yeah. And then I love the idea of when you finally just like start saying it.
Yeah.
Even if you still don't have it quite figured out, right? Like you just start saying like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Like, this is how I'm feeling. And like, you're scared to do it. You're scared to say it. But then to get that response, that was the same for me. Like, then it becomes like a no-brainer right. that you're like, oh, well, of course I'm going to keep talking about this. Because when you see that there's such a thirst for it, like you can't help but keep talking about it.
No pun intended, right?
No pun intended. A thirst for non-ethanol drinks. Okay, well, I want to go back and like let's talk about how it all started for you yeah. with alcohol. Like, how did you grow up? Were your parents drinkers?
Yeah. Okay, so growing up, I grew up in like a white picket fence neighborhood, literally. My parents have been married for 100 years at this point.
Yeah.
I think they've been married 45 years. And I have a little brother. I mean, I am so fortunate to have had a very idyllic childhood with amazing parents who cared a ton about me. Alcohol was never really a thing. Like, they didn't really drink a lot. I mean, maybe I'd see them have a glass of wine at a wedding or something, but it wasn't like around, right? And then I was a competitive dancer in high school. I was busy all the time. I didn't go to parties. Even the high school I went to was very idyllic. It was like Friday Night Lights. Everything was about football. And
you're in the South, right?
I'm in the South. I'm in Pensacola, Florida. Yeah. And like the cool kids at my high school were the ones that like were nice and kind. And I don't know, like it just, if there was drugs and alcohol in high school, I never saw it. And I don't know if that was because I was protected from it somehow or if I just chose to hang out with a different group. I don't know. It was great. I loved high school. It was wonderful. I did not go away to college. I went to college here in Pensacola because I had this long-term boyfriend. I couldn't leave. It's a whole story.
Oh, yes. You know. Yes, I know. I know that story.
Oh, God. And it's like...
That you're like, oh, really? You look back and you're like, really? The life decisions?
The life choices for boys.
It all got you where you are today. So it's
good. I am. So I didn't drink alcohol until like maybe I was 21. Like it just wasn't
really
a thing. Yeah, I never did.
Yeah.
And I never had anyone in my house that overdid it or that I saw overdo it.
And so it also like wasn't a conversation that you remember?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
It was just like not on the table.
Yeah. I mean, my parents would say things like, listen, and my, this is their special way of parenting that I love that they did and we do with our kids. Like, it was very transparent. Like, if you ever go out to a party and decide to drink alcohol, don't get in a car with someone. Don't drive your own self. Like, call us. Will we be disappointed? Potentially. But we'll come get you and we'll talk about it. And like, so it was never, I was never afraid of it. Like, I just didn't do it. And when I got married, Brian was a fraternity boy. So he had quite the college experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he like didn't drink a ton, but it was more of a thing. Like, we would hang out with friends and they would drink beer. And like, he and I started going out to dinner with work friends and it would be like, let's order a bottle of wine. And I was like, I hate this. Beer's disgusting. I still think it's disgusting. I would drink Bud Light in a can because everyone else would. And I would literally like pretend to sip it to fit in and be cool.
It's so funny because you do not seem like a Bud Light.
Oh my God.
Like, so you just don't.
I still hate it. We would like go to dinner with, we had these like this one group of friends. It was really fancy. And we went out to dinner with this girl and her husband and went to this very fancy restaurant and they ordered a bottle of wine. And I was like, I just don't like it. I don't like the taste of it. It tastes weird.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, when you turn 21 back in, I'm 41 now. So back in the day, it was like, you would turn 21 and go order a Midori sour at a bar. Like, you weren't drinking anything cool.
So yes.
We got this sommelier over and he was like, well, what do you like to drink? And I was like, well, I don't really like any of it, but like, I don't know, here's foods that I like and stuff. And he was like, okay, so try a red Zinfandel. So we got a red Zinfandel. And I was like, okay, I kind of like it. And then I learned that it made me calm down and it made, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a very high strung. Recently, I've not even said this publicly at all anywhere, but I'm going to soon, that I was recently diagnosed with ADD as an adult.
Okay.
Which
yes.
Okay.
This is a thing that's like,
yeah,
this seems to be happening. And like ladies in our group, like this is happening in adulthood with women.
Yeah. It's very common as women to be diagnosed later, apparently.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? And then how do you think that manifests? Like, what are the symptoms that you noticed that made you say, like, wait, I need to get this checked out?
It all plays together. So
yeah.
A long story short, that was my introduction to alcohol. And eventually it became like, okay, fun. Like, I think like the twins had just been born. Brady was 4. We were living in Tampa. Brian and I were both entrepreneurs. We were busy as can be. Like, no family in town to help. I mean, it was nuts.
And so hard.
We would be like, oh my gosh, this is fun. Let's open a bottle of wine at night and have wine. Okay, so here's a funny story. I went to the emergency room one time because I was having such bad heart palpitations. And I went to the urgent care and they were like, we're not sure, you need to go to the ER. They were like, we're not sure, what have you had to eat or drink? And this was at night. And I was like, we had some red wine. And they were like, oh, you're probably just sensitive. And I was like, okay, well, that's dumb. Whatever. Anyway.
Oh, that's interesting.
Never paid much attention to it. So then like wine became a thing that we would just do often together. And then we moved home. And then the pandemic happened.
Ugh. And this is like a drumbeat.
Oh, yeah.
And then the pandemic.
And this is a thing you hear often, I'm sure.
Yes. In almost every woman's story, if they didn't quit before the pandemic, in her story is, and then the pandemic.
And then the pandemic.
And by that, we mean the pandemic response, right? Of us being like locked home, alone, no village, no.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And I owned a company with 10 employees, women, who were suddenly default parenting to virtual school. We made planners the years that all the plans were canceled. I had kindergartners home on Zoom calls.
The worst.
I don't even know how we survived. It was nuts.
Seriously. And I say this a lot. Anytime this comes up, I say this, but I feel like we haven't been allowed to like look around and be like, oh, holy shit.
That happened.
Look what we went. Yeah. Like we did that.
Yeah.
And so much of it was on our shoulders as moms to keep our families safe, which we didn't know how to do, to then all of a sudden, like, yes, educate them and manage Zoom schedules and like find toilet paper and all of these things. Yes. And still work.
And my husband was going to his office.
Mine was too.
He was like, it's quiet. Like, I work by myself in this room. And I'm like, yes. But me, I'm home.
Mine was too. Like all of these, which I'm sure it was hard for husbands who stayed home too, but mine stayed home like a day and then went to the office. And I was like, wait, take me with you because this, like, I'm just here.
I don't
now.
Like this.
Like, yes. And the fact that now we just like kind of move on and we haven't had this any sort of like closure to that, what we all went through collectively. No. And like, we're just kind of, it's a whole thing.
It is a whole.
Yeah, it is.
And I tell my kids this, we will look back one day and be like, that changed us. Like that,
yes.
That was a thing. But I have learned looking back, realizing that I have ADD. And I have this ability to hyper-focus where I just go in the zone. I love it. I go in the zone. I work my tail off. And I get so much more done in a short amount of time than anybody else I know. Coming off of a hyper-focus, it's hard because my nervous system, my brain, it wants to keep going like a rabbit. And I have to be like, okay, we've got to calm down. We've got to come back the other way and rest and recuperate. But during the pandemic, I was doing it so often, every day, I realized, okay, when virtual school is over and all these things are over, let's open a bottle of wine and I will immediately come off that hyper-focus intensity.
Like it would take you down from it, right?
It was like medicinal. And at that point, I was like, rosé, it's great. Rosé was my thing. Like, loved it.
Yeah. That seems more like you than Bud Light. I just got to say.
Better than Bud Light?
Yeah.
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 That had become my thing. And then this country club we were part of was selling wine like less than wholesale. So we were like, stock up. And we were having friends over for driveway parties at the social distance. And like, my husband like still drinks, does not have anxiety. Like, it's completely different for him. But like, for me, it just became habitual. And I was like, it's a pandemic. We can have it every day. It's fine. Like, I'm only having one or two glasses. It doesn't matter. And then one or two glasses would turn into like two or three glasses. And it was like, wait, I don't actually feel good when I wake up in the morning. And then something happened where the pandemic was over. We were back to normal life, but we were continuing kind of sort of this habit, not every day, but a couple nights a week. It would be like, I'm so stressed. I'm doing so many things. Let's just pour a glass of wine and it'll immediately go down a notch. And so I would do that. But all of a sudden, I turned 40 in the middle of all this. All of a sudden, one glass of wine, half a glass, three sips of a glass of wine, I would have a raging headache. And the next day, be inflamed. My head would hurt. I was like, is this normal? I would start asking friends like, does a glass of wine give you a headache? Like, I'm not talking about four. I mean, one.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Why is it giving me such a headache? And they were all like, oh, it's because you're drinking it too late at night, or it's because you're not eating enough of protein.
It's the sugar.
It's the sugar.
It's the sugar. Yeah.
It's because you should drink this kind instead. Get the low sugar kind. And let me tell you, I tried it all because I did not want to give up my come down.
Yes. I mean, a few things jump out to me. First of all, it makes so much sense that this, you know, coping mechanism that really worked, right? I mean, it worked. It wasn't like you weren't starting with a headache. Like, no, it was serving a purpose that it was, especially in the pandemic, signifying like, can we get some break in the day? Is there any like break from
my
this
reward?
Caring? Yes. And when you care, like what alcohol does is it makes you not care, which is really, really nice when, especially in a global pandemic, when we care all the time and like we're giving, right?
Yeah.
And then when the one to two glasses turns to two or three, makes sense because it's highly addictive, right?
Yep.
That's not anything new. That's the science of it.
Yep.
And then that it still continues into then when we get back into normal life, right?
Yeah.
Whatever normal life was after the pandemic.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you had such a perspective on it, though, to really like connect that, because I think that can take some time to connect, like, oh, wait, this headache. And it sounds crazy now that it could take time, but it does. Like, the anxiety is really hard to connect back to alcohol. The 3 a.m. wake up is really hard to connect back to alcohol.
247.
Oh, the worst. The shame is really hard to connect back to alcohol, right?
Yeah.
So I think that the fact that you could kind of draw that straight line to say, oh, wait, when I have even like three sips of my rosé, I have a headache. Like, that's kind of starting that exploration that we talk about, right? And being like, oh no. And like you said, like, wait, no. I don't want to let go of that. Cameron Diaz makes organic wine.
Maybe that's the answer.
That's like, the thing. Yes. Yeah.
And I would think like, but I can't not. Like, there's friends in my life that will think I'm weird in our social group. Like, everyone drinks wine. It's fun. It's what we do. And I will say, I had a friend, and thank God for this friend because she was very influential to me and still is. We were very close friends when our kids were really small, and Brady and her son were best friends from birth, right? And we would have back then, like with little bitty kids, when we first started drinking wine, like we would go and have play dates and have wine, and we would go to dinners with our kids and have wine. And she was like my wine buddy. And all of a sudden one day, not all of a sudden, she had always been very into fitness. And one day she was like, I think I'm done. Like, I'm going to stop drinking. And I was like, wait, what? Really?
And you're like, what does that even mean?
She's like 7 years in or something now.
Wow.
And I always kind of looked at her and was like, she's doing all right. Like, it's not weird for her. Like, she comes and hangs out and I don't think she's strange. And so she's the one that I would, the only person that I would talk to and be like, I think I don't feel good when I drink, or like, I think my want to come off the hyper-focus intensity is a little too strong now these days. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this, you know? And she was also the person that I would text and be like, I'm done. And then 2 months later, I'd be like, oh, I'm okay. Like, it's fine. We're back on it. And she was my friend that was always like, it's okay. These are data points. Like, just tuck it in your pocket. You're learning about yourself. It could be that your future looks like a glass of wine every now and then, or maybe it looks like nothing, or maybe you don't change a thing. And so she was there and still is.
Oh, and that's like gold, right? To have somebody, because probably without her and without her being open with you that she's not drinking, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why this is so important that women talk about it instead of just hide it away. We're anonymous, shameful. Oh my God.
Right.
Like we say, like, no, we're not drinking. A friend like that is gold because then, first of all, you see that, oh, wait, this is possible. This thing that like I didn't even think was an option for me. Like, you see that it's an option. And sometimes, like, that small door opening, it's just like a teeny tiny opening. It's like, it's a little seed that's planted, and you're like, oh, wait, this is an option.
It is.
It's possible. Her life isn't over. Like you said, like, she's doing great.
And it looks
great.
Like it doesn't suck either. So I was like,
yes, that.
She's happy. All of that brings us to Christmas last year. And I had spent 2 years lurking around and look, you know, asking questions, following people on Instagram, read, you know, listening to podcasts and reading books. And I was
and still drinking. I always want to point out, like, still drinking.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Which is so important.
Yeah.
Like, this part, I think, is like the most important part where the blinders are like slowly coming off.
Yeah.
But you're still drinking. Like, you're not ready to say, like, okay, good, I'm done. That's it. I just always want to highlight this part because I don't think we talk about it. And I think we assume we're the only ones.
No.
And like everyone else is just perfectly happy with their drinking life. And like they have it all figured out. And like from the outside, I'm guessing you looked like you have it figured out because Emily, you look like you have everything figured out. You are so polished. You are so together. Even you guys, she came on here and I was like, look at Emily's like glowing. Just let me tell you, she's like glowing.
For this.
She's like glowing. I'm like, you are so just light and bright. And then I'm over here, you guys, in my I have skeletons on my wallpaper. I'm
like literally your skeleton wallpaper.
Yes. It's literally like dark and light. But so I would assume if you were in my friend circle in real life, I would 100% assume that you had it all figured out as far as drinking goes. So the fact that for 2 years you were in your head, right? And saying like,
so far in my head.
Yeah. And like, I don't like this, and kind of exploring the alcohol-free lifestyle, but not,
yeah,
like no one would know it. I think that that's really important to
for
point
sure.
out.
For sure. No, no one knew because yeah. I didn't talk about it. I didn't even talk to my husband about it. You know?
Yes. That is so common too. It's like only we know.
Yeah.
Because first of all, we don't talk about it because we've been taught not to talk about it.
For sure. Because right? You can't talk about it unless it's a capital P problem. And then you go to rehab.
Yes.
You know?
Rehab and then AA for life. And then you're like, it's like a scarlet letter. Like, oh God, did you hear about Emily?
Right.
Like, why on earth would we talk about it when it's that?
It was people like you and reading books from people just like us that were kind of like, it's not a capital P problem. I don't know if it would ever be a capital P problem, but knowing the way addiction and acid all work, chances are it could be there one day. But like being able to say it's a lowercase P problem for me, like I don't enjoy this. I don't feel good. It's not serving me anymore. I have an option. Like you don't have to have a capital P problem to choose this lifestyle is what I'm saying.
Yes. And I always like to shift it to like that alcohol itself, just itself, like when you look at its qualities and what it does and the addictive nature of it, is in itself a capital P problem, right?
For sure.
And so like if I want to allow that into my life or just continue it, I'm going to have a relationship with something that is a capital P problem. Anytime you're going to have a relationship with something that's so highly addictive and toxic and wreaks havoc.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a relationship with it, there has to be a lot of rules, a lot of moderation, a lot of, you know, give and take. Like there's just, it's a relationship and relationships take work.
And brain
right?
space. And that was it for me. Like the amount of brain space it was taking up, either me trying to figure out why is my skin inflamed? Why am I waking up puffy? Why do I continually have a headache? Even if I've had one glass of wine in 7 days, why do I just have a constant headache? I kid you not, I went to dermatologists. I started working out more. I was like, maybe I need to change my job. Not my job, but like my role at my job. Maybe I need to get more help at home. Maybe I need whatever. I tried everything to fix the things that were happening. And none of them seemed connected until Christmas night. We had been at my parents' house. My parents like to make white Russians, like for like a little cocktail. And I had had one and I came home and I was like, why did that make me feel so bad? I had one. And I go to bed and I can't sleep. And I'm laying there and I'm staring at the ceiling and I'm thinking about New Year's. My family and I, we write our New Year's goals on a piece of paper and pin it to a pin board in the kitchen. It's like family goals and then one personal goal. And we just all, you know, we look at it throughout the year. And I was thinking about my goals for the year, which were to lose the 25 pounds I gained during the pandemic, start focusing on my skincare because I was about to turn 41, and really like find a way to get reinvested in my job because I felt disconnected. And I didn't like that feeling because I love my job. Oh, the other one was to find more patience with my kids. And I was laying there and I was thinking, I think there's one change I could make that might impact all of those areas. But like, I don't really want to do it. I've tried, I've failed. It just doesn't seem like it's something that's going to work for me. And I went to my doctor. Well, let me back that up. I had gone to my doctor about a week prior and mentioned this to her. And I was like, I think I need to stop drinking alcohol. I think it's bad for me. And you know what she said?
Tell me.
She goes, oh, I don't really think that that could be it. I feel like if I was you, like I would miss it. Don't you love a glass of wine after kids all day long and working? And I was like, I knew as soon as she said that, I was like, new doctor.
Good. Oh my God. This, I know.
I know.
I'm having a hard time.
And I
was like, okay, this could go one of two ways. I could be very surprised and happy, or I could just be like, oh, because that was you like
reaching out.
Yeah. That was you asking for permission.
A validation.
Yes, because we think we need that. We think, because obviously, why would we stop on our own, right? And so it's like, okay, if I could get the medical backing of this to be like, yes, what you're thinking about, what your little inner knowing inside you is telling you is right.
Yeah.
And like you're on the right path, right? And you wanted, yes, validation, permission to say like, yes,
yeah,
good. And that, I mean, I'm sorry, but that calls into question do no harm. Like as far as the medical uh-huh. field and their stance on alcohol, I've had Dr. Kara Pepper on here and she talked about a well-known kind of phrase in the medical community is as long as your patient is drinking less than you are, then they're fine, which wow. is terrifying. It's terrifying. And like you said, like one change.
Yeah.
Like the one change could drastically affect all of the things that, and probably PS, all of the things that doctors are talking to their patients about.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, to begin with. Oh,
so I got a new doctor, but on Christmas night, I was like, I've never really gone all in on this. Like I've been like, oh, I'll try it. Like, we'll see, whatever. And I was like, I'm going to go all in. And I love a challenge. So I was like, I had two all-inclusive tropical vacations back-to-back that were happening right after Christmas.
Ooh,
by accident. Like one was a work thing, one was a family thing, and they ended up being right together. But I was like, well, if I can do it there, it'll be okay.
Seriously.
And so yeah. I was like, I'm going to go hyper-focus like I do. I'm going to go all in on this. I'm going to read books, listen to podcasts, find new tools, do all the things. I'm going to work out. Like I'm going to drink more water. I'm going to do all the things to see if I can get myself to like my best me. And I'm going to give it 100 days, right? So I like wrote this Substack about 100 days to my best me and how I was going to get there. And I went all in.
And was your writing about it, was that a way to have accountability?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because that had to be a big decision too, to write about it and put it out there and say like, okay, this is what I'm doing. You guys, yeah. I'm putting it out there. There's no coming back.
Yeah. I had written a Substack a couple of months prior. It was called On Wine and Women. And it was just my thoughts of how it was introduced to me and like how I was feeling about it. It was still part of my life. And the response was bananas. And I was like, oh, there's something here. And so yeah. I knew sharing it would be received that way. And then that's when I started and I went all in. And the all in part was what made the difference.
Oh my God, yes. It reminds me of like Annie Grace's, my favorite saying of hers is 99% is a bitch, 100% is a breeze.
Oh, I have never heard that, but that is exactly it. Because that 1% really makes all the difference. And I told the people in my life, like, I'm going to quit. I don't know if it's forever. I'm off it. Even the people I was like, they're going to think I'm weird. I just told them. I bought a million books, like Quitlet type books about mothers. And some of their stories were way wilder than mine, but I wanted to like hear about the way it was affecting other people. And I eventually got to that point where it was hard. And I was on vacation. I was in Barbados. And
oof, nice.
It was amazing. We were at the Sandals there. And like it was a work thing for my husband. And everyone was drinking a lot during the day. And I was drinking my club soda with grapefruit juice and lime, which, by the way, is so good if you're in the sun.
Yum. Wait, that sounds really good.
It's like a Paloma, but without the tequila.
Yeah.
So I was having that. And I'm like, I worked out this morning. I'm hydrated. I'm not sunburned because I'm not forgetting to put sunscreen on. And all y'all don't know that there's a secret to life that like I think I'm figuring out. And it was such a great vacation. And I came home so rested. And I was like,
yes.
Then I went on the next one. And this was a family trip. So it was way easier. But like it was just so much fun. And I was reading This Naked Mind for the 50th time. It's such a good book. Good. And yes. I knew like you are rewiring your brain. So when it gets hard or weird, or you crave something to take that edge off, find a new tool, push through, continue to walk the path. It's going to suck. And you're going to think this is stupid. I want to go to the other direction. But like, if you just continually put one foot in the other, you're going to rewire your brain. And the science became fascinating. And then I got to the point, which is like, this is crazy to say. And anyone listening to this who is in the beginning stages of this is going to be like, whatever, I will never get there. But I got to this point where like we would be at dinner and somebody would order a bottle of wine and they would pour wine. And usually I'd be like, it would make me feel so much less anxious. I would be like, y'all about to have a headache. I don't even want that. Like, it's going to give me a headache.
Like, it looks like a headache. Yes.
I'm going to feel, my skin looks so good right now. It's going to be red tomorrow.
Your skin looks so good.
Thank you.
Yes, your skin looks so good.
Thank you. And I'm like, why do I want that in my life? Like, everything is better. Everything is better. My friends who don't drink, like, I have these conversations with them where I'm like, guys, I feel like we figured out a secret and no one knows. People are starting to figure it out. But like everything gets better.
No, but it's so true. Like I'm picturing you in Barbados and like seeing those moments where you kind of, it feels like you've like left a cult or something.
Right. And you're watching from the outside. Like,
yes. And you're watching from the outside and being like, oh my God, holy shit. You guys don't know how good it could be. And like, when you see people just like constantly focused on what's in their glass, right?
Yeah.
And like like going to refill it. And like when the focus is on what you're drinking, it's wild when you step out of that. And then you see that there's a whole world that is more colorful.
Everything.
1,000 times better. Like you feel everything. It's unbrainwashing. Like
it literally,
yeah.
The clarity that comes.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, why did I allow, I want to say like, why did I allow so much of my brain to be taken up by that? But I also like, I had to walk that. Like I had to get through that to get here. Yes. And it's all part of it. But like now I'm at this point where I'm like, wait, that stuff I was ingesting was really bad. Like it's addictive. Yes, it modulates, you know, it brings your anxiety down for a hot minute, but after a time it makes it worse.
So much
worse. And it's not my fault. That stuff is bad.
Yeah, it's not a weakness in us that
no.
like alcohol does its thing. Yes. Like it was never us, right?
No, and it does it to everyone.
To everyone. And I think different people just have different thresholds of how much they're comfortable trying to control what in the end is a very uncontrollable substance, right?
Yeah.
And so what we think on the outside is this just like normal drinker who's fine. In reality, in I would say most cases, it's not that. And many of us don't know how we're supposed to feel. And like if we've been drinking this our entire adult life, even if you know, and any break you give your body from alcohol is great. But if you, you know, maybe have only taken like a 30-day break, like that is not, you're still not at maximum capacity of how you can feel, right?
No.
And so when you start to feel like how your body is supposed to feel and what it's designed to do, and it's not putting everything on pause so that it can deal with this like toxin in your system, it's incredible.
People will ask me now, like we'll be out to dinner, and I was really into like mocktails and replacements and stuff at first, and now people are like, what do you drink? And I'm like, Diet Coke, because that's what I like.
Yes.
I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But like people will ask me like, so what made you stop drinking? And I always say my anxiety day to day when I decided to stop was about an 8 out of 10, just on an ongoing basis. And now it's like a 2. And for me, that's reason enough, but also like everything else is better. So people ask me now, they're like, I sound very braggy, but I swear I'm not trying to. I'm just saying.
No, this is what we want on here. Like where else can women come and just say like, no, you guys, this is how, like, this is what we welcome here. Yes.
People on Instagram will be like, what are you using on your skin to make your skin look so much more glowy? And I'm like, not drinking. People will be like, how'd you lose 20 pounds? What are you doing? What are you eating? Not drinking. Why are you're so like enthused about work these days. And you just seem like so happy. What is it? Not drinking. You know, I'm like, I don't have a link for you. It is not drinking alcohol.
Yes. Like that's the secret, which is, it's mind blowing when we've been taught that the answer to everything is alcohol. Like that's actually, it's the opposite. One thing that stuck out to me is when you said, like, when things get hard. right? When you were in early sobriety and saying like, not if they get hard, like when. So you expected, I think that that's key. And I want to point that out, that it wasn't like, oh no, I have a craving. This craving is a sign that this isn't for me, or that I can't handle it, or this is too much. It was like, no, no, no. When things get hard, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to search for another tool. And that is the sign that my brain is changing.
Oh, for sure. And it's, I started weightlifting right around the same time. Like I had been doing like bar and Pilates and like lightweights for a long time, but I went to my trainer and I was like, I need to lose 25 pounds. I just quit, or I didn't need to lose any pounds. I wanted to get back to the body I'd had most of my adult life.
Yes. Where you feel most comfortable.
Yeah. I said, the goal here is not skinny. It's strong. I want to build muscle. I don't want to be thin. Does that make sense? I don't, I hate that.
Yes, totally.
But I'm like, I want to build muscle. I want to lift heavy things. And she was like, okay. And so part of it, like, because we started doing that, I did that twice a week with her and I still do. I would just like cuss and complain the whole time. And I still do. Yeah. And she would be like, you can do it. You don't change until you do the thing you think you can't do. And she says it to me all the time. And I'm like, I know, but I hate it. But all that to say, I tell myself that because even now, like I'll go weeks where I'm like, I don't even think about having a glass of wine at the end of the day. In the beginning, it was like 50 times a day. I would think like, you can't have wine tonight. You can't have wine tonight. Now I don't even think about it. But there have been a couple times lately where things have gotten really stressful. And I'm like, this part of my brain will be like, a glass of rosé on the porch would be nice. And I'm like, yeah, but a headache tomorrow would not be. And it goes away very quickly. But it's still kind of, my brain's still like, maybe. And so that's part of why I was hesitant to do this, because I'm like, I don't want to put forever on it. But I've also, you don't have to.
You don't have to. This is the only situation where this forever idea like haunts us, and that we feel like we can't move forward until we answer that question.
Yeah.
And it's like in no other, like when you decided to start building muscle, were you asking yourself, well, are you going to do this forever?
No.
Or is it it's like, no.
Not at all. And I've kind of been like, I even said to Brian in the beginning, I was like, I don't know, like maybe when our kids are out of the house, this won't be like such an anxiety causing thing for me. But like right now, and honest to goodness, I feel so good. I would have paid tens of thousands, maybe more dollars to feel this good last year. And I didn't realize it was just one change. So I can't imagine ever going back.
Okay. Spoiler alert. I hate to spoil this for you because I want you to figure this out on your own, and you will.
Yeah.
But like the idea, we have this like forever thing in our brain because we're still at some point thinking like alcohol is additive and us giving it up, there's some sort of deprivation in there. We're going without alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. You will, as you continue to feel great and find new ways that you can feel even better and just continue to really live how you were designed to live in the first place, that question fades and the fear of forever fades. Because for me, I mean, that's why I created that Sober for Good stuff and why it's all for me, it's Sober for Good, because forever doesn't scare me in the same way it doesn't scare me that I'm going to be a mom forever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying, like, am I going to be like, no, of course I'm going to be a mom forever. It's a part of me, right? And so, but it's good that you didn't let that trip you up in the beginning, because I think it does trip a lot of people up.
For sure.
And it's a shame because, like, forever will take care of itself, right? And, like, we just don't have to figure it out. And I promise you, if you keep doing the things like you're doing, you create a life so big and so full that there's just no room.
Mm-mm.
Like there's no room for alcohol. And that's like the best feeling.
It's the best. And it's opened up conversations with people that I'm like, I got pulled aside at a party recently by a friend who was like, so talk to me about this because I've been thinking about it. And even my kids have made comments like, I don't know if I will be into that one day, or maybe I won't, or maybe I will, you know, like, I don't know. It just comes up and I'm
just
like,
talking about like so all good. Of these things, like we haven't talked to, like we were just taught not to talk about alcohol or drinking, like just don't talk about it. And just the fact, like, now we can talk about it and that you can be that space for someone like your friend was for you, right?
Yeah,
that you can just be like, yeah, this is a non-judgmental safe space where we can talk freely about alcohol. Mm-hmm. How great is that?
It truly, it took up so much of my brain for so long. I'm able to say it now because I realized, like, I was spending so much time thinking about why am I so red and puffy? Why have I gained this weight? Am I so disengaged at work? Like, all of that took up so much of my brain that when it was gone and it was removed, I was like, oh, like, every day doesn't have to be insane. Every day doesn't have to be so dreadful. And it's just so good.
Oh, and how's the ADD? Like, how do you,
oh my God,
how do you, yeah. It's like, wild. How do you feel with those symptoms? And yeah,
I have this great doctor that I started seeing right after that other doctor. And
good.
When I started to feel better from not having the constant headaches and stuff, I was like, oh, like, there's a couple things that I'm like, maybe I should just go to a doctor and get this taken care of. I have constant dry eyes. Went to an ophthalmologist. I'm like, can we figure this out? Figured it out. Like, went to the dermatologist and I was like, why is my skin so red? She's like, you're using the wrong stuff. You know, got that figured out. And went to my primary doctor and was like, I can get in these zones and I love this about me. And I think it's my superpower, but I can get super hyper-focused on something to the point to where, like, I forget to eat. And I was working on a keynote presentation and I was so, it was about resilience through burnout, like a very women specific type of thing. And I was so into it that I worked for 13 hours. Like,
wow.
I got up to use the bathroom. That was about it. And then I got up at the end of it when I was done, and my husband was great. He was like taking care of the kids because he knew it was a big deal for me. And I got up at the end of it and I almost fell down because I was so lightheaded because I hadn't eaten anything. And I was like talking to a friend of mine and I said, is it weird that like I do that? Like, for sure. I've always known I can outwork anybody. Like, I am a hard worker. And part of it's because I can do that hyper-focus thing. And I shared it on Instagram and the internet. The powers that be on the internet were like, girl, that's ADD. And I was like, wait, what?
That's wild. Yeah.
And so I went to my doctor and I was like, is this ADD? And she said, well, let's talk about it. And then you went through the whole testing thing and all that stuff. And come to find out, she ended up telling me, it's funny to know what you have done with your career and your life, that you have made very simple products for women that are quite often overwhelmed and very busy. And that's a way of dealing with this thing about you that's always been there. And I was like, what? And now I see it in myself. I see the way that I am very passionate about everything and I get easily distracted and I want to do everything all at the same time because I love it all so much. And I just want to give everything I have to everyone. So it's just been interesting to learn more about myself as things have gotten more clear. And I've been able to kind of realize like, oh, like this is how you're wired, you know? And it's not a bad thing. It's your superpower.
Totally. It's your superpower and it's what makes you you. And how amazing is it that you kind of channeled it into everything that you've built.
Yeah.
And now you in like, you know, you're in your 40s, alcohol free, you get to come home to yourself and really like nurture what makes you what makes you you? I love it.
Coming home to yourself is exactly what it is.
Yes. Oh, and I also love, like, it's all, like, your personal life is aligned with your professional life, like, the simplified, like, it seems very aligned. It seems like you know what you're doing, Emily.
I don't know.
Who knew?
I told my team this morning, we had a big team meeting, and I was like, I feel like a lot of things make a lot of sense now. I know this about me.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. That's the best when it's all like coming together and you can see it. Oh, well, you are an inspiration to me and everything you've built and how you live. I adore you. I adore you. And I thank you so much for coming on and sharing because it's going to help. Like it's going to help so many women.
Oh, it's the first time I've told that story in its entirety. So I appreciate you giving me space to do it. And I just,
I'm
I love
honored.
What you do.
Thank you. And tell everybody, I mean, they already know where to find you because they told They keep telling me, they're like, you have to get Emily on. And I keep saying, I was like, you guys, I promise she's coming. And now I'm like, no, she's actually, yeah, she's on now.
That's awesome.
Tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah. Best place is probably Instagram, Emily Lay. And the Simplified brand is over at emilylay.com.
You guys, she's everywhere. If you already know her. Emily, thank you. Thank you so much.
I loved it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Sober Mom Life. If you loved it, please rate and review it wherever you listen. 5 stars is amazing. Also, follow me on Instagram at The Sober Mom Life. Okay, I'll see you next week. I'm going to go reheat my coffee. Bye.
I'm Madeline, and I'm the host of the Happiest Sober podcast. I got sober in my 20s after a decade of gray area drinking, and the greatest plot twist of all time was realizing that alcohol, the thing that I thought made my life the most happy and fun and exciting, was actually the exact thing preventing me from living my happiest and best life. My mom is 40 years sober, and she joins me on my podcast very often. I like to call her my part-time co-host, and I also bring you solo episodes where I share my top tips, tricks, and mindset shifts in sobriety, and lots of how-tos for navigating all the things sober, from weddings to parties to holidays to bachelorette parties to trips. I'm also joined by so many guests who come on and share their sober stories, and they're all so, so inspiring. I'm here to show you that life doesn't end when you quit drinking. In fact, it's very much the opposite. And no matter what your relationship was with alcohol, life can be the absolute happiest when you're sober. New episodes come out every Tuesday. You can listen to Happiest Sober podcast wherever you get your podcasts.